Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, Mimi.
Oh. Hey, Gigi.
When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up the glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get queerified.
Hey, I'm Gigi Gorgeous. I'm 5'2" and based in Los Angeles, and I'm reading for the role of host.
Hi, I'm Mimi. I'm 5'7", based in Oakville, Ontario, reading for the role of co-host.
And this is our self-tape for Queerified. Oh my God, Mimi, are you so nervous right now?
Of course I'm nervous. I'm not an idiot.
Oh my God. Okay. Welcome back to Queerified. Today we have a very high-stakes show with one of the most elite casting directors in all of La La Land.
But before we get started, please don't forget to call in with your queries.
Call and ask us what's on your mind at 1-844-QUERIES.
As you know, that's QUEERYS. And I want to read a review.
Okay, this one is from Jen Alex from USA. Shout out to you, girl, who gave us 5 stars, and she said,
"The absolute best queer icons. They make queer teens like myself feel like they have a safe space and belong. It's so nice to get to know more about my favorite queer artists and allies, and even some I've never knew before now. I'm obsessed with all their stories, and advice they give are so helpful and encouraging."
She also says, "If you're ever feeling down or just lost or bored, this is where to go. Gigi and Mimi are one of the sweetest people." Oh, Mimi.
So cute.
"And have given me such amazing friends through the podcast."
Aw, Jen, that is so sweet. Please leave us 5 stars and we'll read your review on the next pod.
Oh my God, Mimi, she's almost here. Do I need to powder my nose?
Always.
Wait, you do too. Quick, quick. She's a Cali girl through and through, a West Hollywood nightlife staple on and off camera, and maybe the casting director to give you your big break. Chanel Perillo. All right, welcome back. We are here with Chanel Perillo in the podcast room. Hey, Chanel.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi, Chanel. How are you?
Hi, Mimi. It's so good to see you.
I know. It's so good to see you.
So this is Chanel's first podcast, everyone.
Ever.
So go easy on her while you're listening. I'm just kidding. You're going to be like a pro and so good.
Yeah, no, my first time. Like, I feel like I have a voice.
Like she, okay. And also her nickname is Shut Up Chanel. So that should tell you something. The bitch has a voice.
This episode might be the longest one you've ever had.
Perfect.
She's like softening her voice also. Is this your podcast voice?
This
it's a little bit softer than usual.
We get in. So before we jump into all of the juicy nitty gritty, what are your pronouns? What do you identify as? Let everybody know.
Let's just dive right in. I am she, her.
Of course.
She, her.
Although for years, Courtney Act used to say I was the number one female impersonator, but I don't know if that joke sits anymore.
It didn't age well.
It didn't age
well. No. I think that's funny.
It is funny.
Yeah. And I identify as a pansexual.
Really?
You do.
I didn't know this. So Mimi and I were talking earlier and I was like, she might say bi, but she might just say hetero.
I think pan just gives you the ability to be completely fluid in your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pro-pan. We know this.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. So have you had sex with women?
So when was the last time you fucked a girl?
No, don't answer that. That was a joke.
No, I think your sexuality is a journey. And mm-hmm. I never wanted to put a cap on it. Yeah, I don't know. I always thought that bi was almost constricting me. Like, oh, I have to like
it
pick
is.
A gender. We're pan. It's like I don't have to pick any gender.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to think
I
about
love that.
The gender. I love
don't
that
have
too.
To think about it.
What's your relationship with the LGBTQIA+ community as a cisgender pansexual woman.
Okay, so how much time do you have? okay, long story short, San Diego to New Jersey, born in New Jersey, San Diego, moved to LA with not a gay friend in sight. Didn't know a drag queen. I mean, I'd heard of the name RuPaul, but I had no idea what drag was. I was 2007, the recession hit, and my assistant job was like coming to an end, and I was gonna like give up my dreams and move back to San Diego. And I went to this dinner. The girl at the dinner worked for World of Wonder. They had just started RuPaul's Drag Race. She's like, for some reason, I feel like you would be great with drag queens. And I was like, what? I was like, sure. Yeah, she just like had this feeling. And like, long story short, like I got a call that day and was like, can you start tomorrow? And I was like, hell yeah. I called my mom, told her I was going to work on like this RuPaul show. And she was like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, what? And she's like, your life is literally about to change. And it totally did.
So it was what season was it of RuPaul's Drag Race?
It was the end of season two that I started out as like a little PA girl.
So who was on season two?
The end of season two was actually Sonique. Sonique season, the OG Shangela.
We had Kylie Sonique on, and she said that they wanted her for season one, but she had to postpone her transition or something like that.
Wait, but who won? She was the one who talked about bombing DragCon.
Well, no, it was the season that everyone thought Raven should have won, and actually Tyra Sanchez won. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember my first day was the reunion for season two, and it was like Kylie's big breakdown about coming out as trans. And mind I tell you, not one gay friend, like, and I'm like, what's trans? Like, had
no idea. Oh, really? So she was your first?
Yeah, like, probably the first trans person that the first story that I had, like heard and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Nick still remembers. She's like, I have this picture of you literally sitting at like the table by yourself, like, and you have like, I have like no tits, bangs,
the bang era,
like,
yeah,
dark crease that I like tried to pull off for a while.
So other than RuPaul's Drag Race, what other shows like were you like getting to get?
On? So Drag Race was like I took that show until season five, and then I kind of like was at this crossroads in my career where I was like, I could keep like playing the game of like doing Drag Race, or I could like tour with the queens and do all that. And so I chose that. And in between that, someone was like, you would be good in casting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
Have you ever thought about
Drag Race? I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Like all these opportunities, like I just was like, maybe that is something I should try to do.
Right. And I feel like that's really like, that's good to keep like an open mind about like different opportunities. Like you never know what you're going to hear. Like it's like, oh, you should maybe try this avenue out. It's like, keep an open ear to that, because mm-hmm. you may think you're on the right path, but I know like, you know, you working as like an assistant on RuPaul's Drag Race, and then you go into touring, which is like, I know you conquered and thrived, and then casting directing, which you're doing now, which is like so major,
and it's so fun. And I feel like I really like, one of the biggest things I always told myself was that because like the LGBTQIA+ community like supported me so much, like I was always going to do everything I can to make sure that mm-hmm. like I pitch like trans voices, like diverse voices, gay, lesbian, like back when like no one was pitching, you know, fighting for gay people to get on TV shows. Mm-hmm. I felt like I always wanted to be a part of the fight.
Do you have any advice for people who are looking to get onto these shows? Like Drag Race, for example.
Yeah, what makes a great audition? I feel like now more than ever, there's like so many audition tapes.
Yeah, and I really think it's like not giving up. I think that's the biggest thing, is like people think they're being annoying by like keep trying at something. But like, no, like I think the most successful people like had to be a little bit annoying in their career, like in their heads of thinking like, oh, like I'm being annoying by like submitting again or trying to get better. Like, no, like that's all part of the fight. Like that's how people do get in. Like you have to like keep trying is pretty much. Mm-hmm. And to make your social media look amazing, as a casting director, like now Instagram is like the
that
number one place.
A lot.
Like it matters so much, and people don't think about it. And yeah, like the way that your Instagram shows how like shows the multi layers to like your life and personality, that's like huge. Like the number one.
So
thing,
you're
like,
looking for layers.
Yeah, also not just like real stuff too, not mm-hmm. just all photo shooty. I think a lot of like actors and people that are just getting starting out thinking like that everyone wants those like overdone photoshopped pictures when really, like, they casting directors are looking for more, like, natural,
like, your life,
organic stuff.
So I know, like, obviously being very close with you, know, like, a bunch of places that you and shows that you've casted for. What was, like, the first, and were you nervous? Because I feel like I've never asked you that, and I would be so fucking nervous having a bunch of people spill their life to me and me basically having to choose the ones that I think were the most interesting. Like,
nervous?
I feel like I would, like, make,
I
yeah,
would
make,
love it. I'd be like, you, not you.
I wouldn't choose. I'd be like, but I kind of like her. I mean, there would be some obvious no's, don't get me wrong, but I feel like it's so cutthroat.
I mean, the first casting job I had was Drag Race, and that was insane to have that pressure on me, because you're literally, like, the pressure of, like, and I think that's where the balancing game got with me, is, like, the pressure of, like,
making or breaking someone's career. Exactly.
And drag queens are like cutthroat. That's why that's why Drag Race now is very formulated, in that you have to send a tape, and it's different than the other shows I cast. So let's talk about, like, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's extremely intimidating of a show to cast.
Like, and I feel like bitches lie about stuff that they have. Like, it's all about, like, money and, like, you know, status and all that. But people, like, rent houses for when they shoot and they, like, want to show more than they have.
And
you've said
out
to me several times, like, if your husband is having, like, money troubles, he'll be like, don't go on the show. Or, like, what did you say about
that? You'll, like, start to know, like, when a woman's like, well, I have to check with my husband first. And it's like, you know, where they'll start to, like, pull back a little. And it's like, well, like, we'll be like, oh, her husband must have said she couldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you could cast me and Gigi in shows, what shows would you cast us in?
And why?
And why?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would cast Mimi. Let's start with Mimi.
Okay.
And the
what would you be good in?
I know. This is hard. okay. Well,
what's that one where you, like, go across the world? The Great
Amazing
Escape.
Amazing Race.
The Great Escape.
Yeah, I can
amazing
see you
race.
An Amazing Race type of show. Or so, or also, like, a show about, like, up-and-coming podcasters, if you will.
What? No, like a real show that's happening right now.
Show? Oh, you don't want me to develop one.
No. I feel like you'd be good in maybe, like, Big Brother. Because you're very, like, not unassuming.
Oh,
but I feel like you would be, like, I wouldn't think that you were, like, some kind of, like, shark initially.
Uh-huh.
Like,
that
I feel like
sense.
You'd make it a really far away in Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Big Brother.
I
could see that. I feel like a show that's on right
now. Or, like,
now.
You like food, so, like, Top Chef?
A cooking show? Do you cook?
No, I don't cook.
Yeah,
what
she doesn't cook.
What show have you always
yeah.
wanted to be on? Do you want... See, first you have to have...
Probably, like, a Housewives. I would love a Housewives situation.
Well, that's... I was going to kind of combine the two of you, and I was going to put Gigi on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and I was going to have you be, like, her best friend on the show, because that's another thing...
A friend
thing
of is cute.
Yeah, we do the casting of the friend of. It's like
not holding the diamond, but, like, you're on it a lot.
Like the shit.
You still do the cast photo shoot. Like like Sutton did. I remember she had, like,
or
the,
like,
neon
Kathy.
Green. Like Kathy. Uh-huh. But she's holding the diamond, though.
Kathy's not holding a diamond, is she?
Isn't she?
Not yet. I think that they seated her and she was a friend.
Oh.
Eventually, I think Kathy will be a housewife.
She'll be the one. She'll be the number one.
Like, some seasons they'll, like, throw a girl in to, like, get the audience to, like, get familiar with her.
Right.
Before she's, like, an actual, especially if they don't want to fully commit to the show. Like, Kathy might have been like, this is a tester.
Right.
Like, you never know.
Okay, so what about me and not Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Because obviously I'm going to be on that one day.
So you want another show? You want me
to
be on another show?
Yeah, like, what do you think that I would be
like,
good on?
Like maybe, like, a beauty competition series.
Like a Miss USA?
Yes, that is reality.
Me competing
now?
For Miss USA.
I would love to see you on, like, Real World.
Real World.
Just, like,
but
living.
That.
I would be down,
I know,
though.
It is, but, like, it's, I feel like
now
people
married,
get to
so
know more
different.
Of you. You
I wouldn't cast
to, like,
Gigi when Gigi was younger on a show like that for sure. Like, pre-marriage. You
and
know,
like,
what I mean?
Was, more savage.
When she was more of a wild child, if you will.
Has she changed?
She's still in there. I know, right?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wait, so I want to talk about our friendship for a little bit. So I don't know if people know that you were in my wedding.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You were in my wedding party and one of two friends, really. So I look at Mark as like above a friend. Like you're basically like my brother, I feel. Tiffany's my sister, but it was you and Hillary that were in my wedding party.
Did you tell them how many times I would like ask you if I was still in it?
Like, no, I didn't.
No, I didn't know that.
I think the first time she asked me, we were like at Bootsy Bella. I was like, and so like the
next
day.
Is that when I asked you? I wanted to ask you that too. Is that when I asked you?
Yeah, I think we were like sitting at a booth.
That's not cute.
And you were like,
usually it's like you wrap a present. They have to like say yes or no. It's like, will you date me kind of vibe. I asked you in a club?
Yeah, like I think there was a follow up.
No, that's cute. That makes sense.
Like, I mean, it's very me, but God. Where's my maid of honor at the time telling me to not do that?
No, that's such a cute vibe.
No, it was. And I thought I thought it was so cute that like the next day I sent a follow up like, are you sure you still want me to be in the wedding? And she was like, yeah. And
for some reason, I thought we were in my pool. It was like summertime. And I just asked you in the pool.
I mean, maybe I don't
so much
remember.
Happens in that pool.
So like, much.
Every life event happens in the pool.
R.I.P. to the pool days until next summer. What was your favorite part about the wedding? Oh, I feel like it was my favorite weekend ever.
It was my favorite weekend. I felt like I was like such, I don't know, I really felt a part of like the family and the energy there like was nonstop fun.
Yeah, and there were like assistants because we were both bridesmaids. Did you have someone who was always looking after you?
Yeah.
Like I had a personal assistant at that wedding.
Wait,
I forget
what?
His name. Yes, they were like, okay, do you need a drink? They were always
the girl
there.
Yeah, was always in there.
Mine was a guy.
She had like, and then she
Andrew.
Andrew, yes. I think we all had our own person.
The cuter, taller one?
Yes. And they were like taking care of us. Are you hungry? Do you need a drink for the weekend?
Oh, wow.
So like.
Yeah, they really took care of us.
Mindy because, Weiss, like, guys. Mindy Weiss.
Yeah. I think us all staying in that hotel room was like the chicest part of it.
Oh my God,
and like your
so
dad
fun.
Coming and like being so proud. And I don't know. It was just very special.
That photo of all of us the day after is like one of my favorite photos ever. It's like a photo of all of us. Do you know
naked.
What I'm talking about?
We woke up every morning fully
busted.
Naked.
People think the wedding is like supposed to be this like fairy tale. Like you just wake up and there's like butterflies and it's fine. No, it's like when you're young and you get married, you rage. And
yes,
like every friend
rage.
Around us rage. So I woke up every day. We had a 3-day wedding. I woke up every day thinking, I can't do today. But like the money got me through. I was like, I spent so much money on today. Mm-hmm. I will get in the shower and I will continue today.
Yeah,
that photo is fucking iconic.
It was like the first night, or I think it was the wedding night, and you had gone to your like wedding hotel. It was not the bridal suite anymore. You went somewhere
else. To christen our marriage. Is that what it's called? Commemorate?
Conjugate? I don't know.
Conjugate?
But there
What's
were like 40 people.
Conjugate. You conjugate. Went to conjugate your marriage.
Which we didn't. We ended up doing it in the morning.
But there was like 40 people in that
Chrissy
room.
Did that too.
Chanel, you were there. And I just remember like ordering like 40 burgers. I was so stressed. I was like, everyone's hungry. Everyone's yelling their order. We were raging. Like, I can't even say the things we did in that room while you were gone, Gigi.
Oh, yeah. That party I missed.
Yeah, it was a fall. Yeah. And I think the wedding brought me and you together because I don't think me and you had really like, we had always like FaceTimed.
Uh-huh.
But we had never like spent. And like the Palm Springs Bachelorette party, Bachelorette, oh my God. Bachelor party was... everything.
The fittings for the wedding was really cute.
The fittings.
Cute.
Just the wedding. I just had just to have a wedding. Moment. Because I don't know if people know that you were in my wedding. I feel like this is like worlds colliding. Yeah. Podcast life, wedding life. I want to go back a little bit because I never asked you this for your job, casting directing. Cast directing. How do you say casting director? Casting.
Yeah, I wasn't occurred to you earlier that like it's one, people always say casted.
Casted?
But it's just cast.
Cast.
And it's directed. No, like casting directors will do it too, but they'll be like, I casted this. And it's just like, I cast this.
Okay.
Cast works for the for it all.
Mm-hmm. Cast. Mm-hmm. So
and now you're
going to
notice people say it and you're going to be like, that's wrong.
Right. Of the things you cast.
Of the things I cast.
Of the things. Oh my God. Yeah. Casted, obviously. Okay. Of the things you cast, what was like a horror experience? Because we ask like people who do like styling. We ask people who work with like musicians and things. Some people have name dropped and said, this is the worst person I've worked with.
Everyone's name dropped. And I think you should as well.
Well, you can name drop, but we'll bleep it, right? Like that's fine.
It was Detox. Detox is the worst. No, I'm just kidding.
You live for her.
I know.
Sharon Needles, huh?
No, I'm not going to do her.
Well,
like
not
that.
Necessarily like Drag Race. It could be like anything. Yeah. And like why as a casting director?
Like people that were just awful. I mean, oh God, is it someone that's like no longer with us?
Oh no.
No, I'm trying to think. Hold on.
Okay.
I mean, you could say it, just bleep it. But like just like a good old story time.
Mm-hmm. Or say the show.
Okay, actually, I have a great story. And you could totally say her name. And I hope that she's still with us. I feel really bad if she's gone.
What is with all these people you've cast dying?
She's a really... Well, I'm just trying to think of like a crazy situation.
Right.
Like,
did RuPaul ever make you cry?
No, I always liked RuPaul.
Oh, really? Okay, cute.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Ru is the best. Like, Ru would, like, I remember I used to chain smoke, and I'd be outside, and Michelle Visage used to be like, Chanel, when the hell are you going to stop smoking? Like, and Ru would be like, she'll quit when she's ready, Michelle. And I'd be like, thanks, Ru.
So supportive.
I mean, there was this one queen. I produced Wigstock's revival with Neil Patrick Harris and Lady Bunny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing? Lena and Candace performed there. I feel like that'd be so fun.
Yeah, they're like the originals. Like
full number, like choreography.
If you look up the original, like the 80s.
I was going to say choreography.
Yeah, they were like the dolls back in the day.
I mean, hello. So worst...
Okay,
cast.
So yes, I was story. In charge of like 65 drag queens, and I think they thought I had like a team. I think they thought I was coming to New York with like 10 handlers.
Did you like lead it on as you had a team?
I just was like, I could handle it.
Right.
And like and it was like Neil Patrick Harris and Willem recommended me, so like I wanted to kill it. And like I was like, I got this. And it was like Lady Bunny who like trusted me. But there was like some queens that I had never worked with before, and they're like old school New York queens. Mm-hmm. And they were like, who's this little Mary walking around? Like one of them kept calling me Annie, and she was like, this fucking Annie bitch over here.
I've never heard
like,
that.
And like
who said that?
Is that like basic? Bleep that.
Her name was and at the end of the show, she was so blackout drunk the whole show that I kept pushing her number. And mind I tell you, like, if one person didn't go on, another person, like, would have to go on. Mm-hmm. And it was just me running around. And this queen was so drunk. And so I just kept putting people in front of her. And finally, she realized that she missed her number. And when I tell you, I was like scared for my life. Like at the end, she was like, I'm going to get you. And like at the end of the night, I just like hung out behind Latrice because I was like, and like all the older queens were like, Chanel, like it's fine. Like it was crazy. But
is that what you're saying? I hope she's still with us.
Yeah, because she's older in New York. I don't know. She's COVID's crazy. I don't know. I'm hoping. But,
right.
Okay.
But it was like really bad. But yeah, like drag queens used to make me cry. Every other day.
I never thought you would cry.
Oh, bawling. Like crying my eyes
yeah,
out.
Yeah, Chanel's emotional.
Yeah, well, but back in the day, they used to be like, I want to make you stronger.
Oh, that,
like, they'd
that
be like,
thing.
They'd be like, you don't know what we had to go through. Like,
gay people are
right.
Insane.
If you haven't.
Cis hetero woman.
Exactly. If you haven't cried a day on the job, in a job that you're like thriving mm-hmm. in, then are you really working?
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah, it's
I've
like
never
much
cried
easier
at my
to
job.
Make...
Really? Oh, yeah. Are you really working?
No.
Yeah, entertainment. I mean,
do you know where I first heard of you, Chanel?
Tell me.
Years before Gigi even moved to LA, there was a video of a Marco show.
Oh my God, yeah.
It was like all of the queens, they were like, shut up, Chanel. And I remember Detox was there. Raja was there, and it was all this shut up, Chanel, shut up, Chanel. You're like a legend in West Hollywood.
Oh, I've won numerous fag hag of the year. You can't even say that anymore.
That's what I said, Mark. You can't say fag hag.
I won 2 fag hag of the year awards, and now I'm like... And then,
I mean, yeah, but you've worked for
it. I was
thriving
when I was younger, and it, mm-hmm. a lot of it had to do with the Marco Marco show.
Yeah, and I'll remember one in particular for the rest of my life. We were in New York, and it was an all trans cast for, mm-hmm. the Marco Marco runway show, and, mm-hmm. it was just so iconic. Every single person that walked down that runway was transgender.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you were part of the community yet then, but you were like a fierce, yeah. ass ally. Like, for you to be behind that, pushing the girls, yeah. casting the girl, it's like. That was so amazing. And it's online if anybody wants to check it out. It's, mm-hmm. it's an amazing, and it's never been done before. So we made history that day.
It was totally history. We always wanted to do a trans show, but we didn't, mm-hmm. want it. We never wanted it to be like a thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it was so good. It was so good. The Marco Marco show was actually like my lead way out of Drag Race. And it, mm-hmm. It's actually one of like, my passion projects, like one of the most impactful things that I feel like I've done in my career, because it was like back in the day, our first Marco Marco show, like no one was using drag queens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trans, mm-hmm. models have been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times having to
go south.
Go south. But, you know, drag queens at that time, like,
no.
I mean, there was I remember Drag Race cruises where like I was one of maybe 5 girls that's like, cared about Drag Race at the time. There was like, it was a
you,
small,
Michelle Visage.
It was a small, Merle. I remember constantly having to defend myself to my girlfriends back home in San Diego, like, no, I promise you, it's an art form. Like, oh, mm-hmm. like it was like a battle. Now all of them are like saying tea and shade, and I'm like, oh Lord.
Bitch, where were you?
Yeah. But you were in one of our first like couple
in
shows.
LA.
We weren't even that close of friends.
Not
yet.
At all.
Marco was close with you, and yes. he asked you to be in the show. Mm-hmm. And I remember being so excited about it.
No, I met Marco on a mattress at this after party. We were both laying on this mattress, and I was new to LA, so I just thought that that was what an after party was in LA, and usually times it is 50% yeah. of the time.
So
I was
gross.
Laying there getting my life, and he was like, "You're a star. You're special." And I was like, "Thank you, stranger." Got his number. We were like talking. And he's like, "I'm a fashion designer. You should be in my show." Went for one fitting, came to the show, downtown LA. Probably had been like 3 times.
You came with your hair and makeup done.
Yeah, because I didn't know. I had like an attached pony on. They're like, "Should we throw a wig on the back of this?" And this is like pre-wigs for me. So I was like, no.
I was so
excited.
They're
like, "No, it's a fashion show. You have to do what we say."
I was
I'm like,
so
okay.
excited. We had so many divas in that show, like Yasmine Petty, Raven, Detox, Milk. Raja, like it was an insane, that show, that one at mm-hmm. the cathedral downtown.
The cathedral. Christine Quinn just got married there. You know that?
No.
Yeah.
But a lot of shows actually film there that mm-hmm. I see on TV now because I'm like, oh, our fashion show was there.
The big church.
That was one of the, that's like one of my favorites.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows 2 women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
So how long have you known Marco then, the designer?
Since Drag Race. We met my first day on Drag Race. There was a sub show of Drag Race back in the day that no one watched called Drag You. And it was pretty much like the celebrity show that they're doing now.
But with no celebrities.
It was like middle-aged women that like mm-hmm. need a boost in their life. And the drag queens like were the professors. And mm-hmm. it's like amazing. It was like an amazing show. Matthew Anderson was like the creative behind it.
Matthew.
And like... Yeah, oh, legend. So I remember my first day on set. Like, I don't know. I I was just drawn to Marco and one of my best friends, Hector. They were like the hair and costume on the show. And I was like, who are these like cool guys on set? They like walked in, smelled like a little bit like weed. I was like, I was like, I'm going to be your best friend. And they were like, okay. And like, and I just kept pushing myself in their lives. And
here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, the Marco Marco is, I mean, I met you at the Marco Marco New York show. I think that was at the town hall, and Gigi, you were wearing that green hair, and I remember me and my boyfriend were in the
show.
Girl.
Yes.
Yes, it was. It was, oh my God, it was so, that was like the first time I saw you in a fashion show, and it was a big deal.
Oh my God, three worlds colliding.
Fashion shows are just so fun. The adrenaline, like I live for that. Like that's one thing like I love is like craziness. Like I love hecticness and like fittings and times and like, I don't know. It's just, I thrive in chaos.
I feel like I do too.
You do too.
Honestly,
love it.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. The glitz, the glamour, like hoping everything goes right. And then when it does, like that celebration that you get after. It's
right.
Like, it's so
but when you're not part of it, and this might be just me being so stupid and like too much, but fashion shows are so tiring. They're always late. You're sitting there waiting. And you know, you have to like get through like people to get to your seat. It's just like such a moment. You love it, but I'm always like, oh my God, like this fashion show.
I mean, you should see backstage.
I don't think I've ever like sat. That's what I mean. I don't think I've ever sat in a fashion show. I've always been behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like, there's the constant, like you're like, people are waiting. And, but it's like, costumes are being like sewn on to people and there's like, you know, like whose lash fell off and that's why like it couldn't start.
Right.
Like there's always a reason why the show's not on time. It's and, like, never like a stupid reason.
It's rarely ever they start on time unless it's like slots like in like New York with like at Spring Studios. It's like you have 20 minutes. So like you have to start.
Which is crazy when you're someone like Kanye West who probably has a team of like thousands and like you're still late. Like, that's how you know fashion
that's
shows
insane.
Are never going to start on time.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
I want to talk about a little bit. I just want to hear you talk about the soundbite queen that you are. I've had you say, remember that guy that was like, he was saying like, oh, I could fuck a girl or whatever. The soundbites you get bitches to say.
Oh,
and like
yeah,
the
like
art soundbite. Of that.
The art of casting like
sound
interviews
bites. Yes,
and like getting
yes.
people to like trust you. And
yes.
Ooh,
or anybody that's like an aspiring director out there that wants to cast, like mm-hmm. what's some advice that you could give? Because you need that juicy soundbite and I feel like you're so good at it.
Like for people, like I'm good at soundbites or like I'm getting good at people to tell me soundbites?
Getting good at people to give you soundbites.
Yeah, I think it's like people don't realize like in a casting interview, mm-hmm. like everything should be a complete thought. Like go into mm-hmm. it like thinking like this producer is trying to produce me. So like anything she's telling me to say, like she probably wants me to repeat what she's saying in with my answer. So if I were to say like what color is the sky, like you're not gonna be like blue. You're
no.
gonna be like, oh, the color of the sky is blue and I love it. Like, you know what I mean? Everything mm-hmm. should be a complete
like
sentence.
A yes and.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the funnier you can get in one sentence, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And to be loud and like excitable, like mm-hmm. the word and your setup. Here's another casting.
Work.
When I pull up a Zoom and someone's settings, like behind them, the lighting, it's framed right. They look put together. Like it starts us off on like the perfect note. I am like, oh,
okay.
Breath of fresh air. This is going to be a great interview. Even if the, like their energy wasn't as good as the girl before, but the girl before had a shitty setup, her lighting was bad. Like she hadn't brushed her hair. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you know,
like,
they're paying attention to the details. You know, they're ready
for
show business.
Yeah, you don't need to spend a lot of money. Like a cheap lighting kit and like something to prop up your laptop so it's mm-hmm. eye level with you, good framing.
Like a good window. Just
a,
like open the window.
A window in front of you. You never want like a window behind you. It's better to be like front lit and people yes. will think, don't get what, like that means
writing
like the window
down.
Should be in.
Yeah, just yeah. tips from the pro. Just look good, well lit, do your hair, do your makeup.
Framed
be funny.
Right, rib cage up.
And what's like
normal.
A no-no? Let's give me your no-nos.
I hate like a down-up angle, like when the computer's like down here and you're like looking down. When like,
Wait, have you ever had like an audition call with a guy for like a dating show and you get on the call and he's like just jacking off?
I've had some. Okay, so I cast F-Boy Island on right. HBO Max and like
Or like girls with their tits off thinking, or tits out thinking like that's what you want to see.
Oh, I've seen so many nipples. No, just on accident. They're like talking and like their nipple comes out. God. Or like one time. I was interviewing an F-Boy for F-Boy Island and I notice everything during the interview because I like to make sure everything's like my boss's OCD. Shout out to Galoka. But I I saw this girl like sneaking in the background.
What?
Out, and like holding her shoes.
With
and,
a guy?
And this is mid-afternoon. Yeah, during the interview.
So you saw a live walk of shame.
Yeah, and I go, is that girl walking out of the apartment right now? And he's like, waves goodbye to her. And I'm like, when was the last time you had sex? And he's like, 15 minutes ago. Like,
he's cast.
Perfect.
Imagine fucking a girl and then being like, sorry, gotta go do my F-Boy Island interview.
But of course. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, great.
That's epic.
Yeah, I mean, you just like know, you start to like really, I was so obsessed with sociology in like when before I went to FITM. And I think that's why I like casting, like the study of people. And,
I mean, I
and
love
like my
the
job
study
is
people.
To like package them and make them look the best, find their storyline. Like, that's so fun to me.
Well, okay, final question before we get onto our queries. How would you package Gigi Gorgeous?
Ooh, like to pitch for a show?
Yeah, to pitch for a show. Like, what would you pitch for Gigi? Like, what would you put her in? Like, what's the show? What's
right
the,
now, Gigi today?
Right now, pitch her to Bravo.
Well, Bravo, Gigi is getting her own show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It follows the line. Oh my God, I can't believe like I'm being like, I feel like you're my boss. And I'm
like, you're like, I want to say the right thing. I feel like it would be, actually, no, you go.
Yeah,
I
you
do.
Go.
I feel like, I mean, I feel like it's a docuseries. Oh.
Okay.
I feel like it's a docuseries following Gigi and Nat on their road to creating their own family.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
I was thinking maybe Nick and Jessica had newlyweds, but it's been, I think we passed that point. It's giving 2 years at this point.
No, it's fertility. It's like the next step. It's the next round. It's business endeavors, starting a family.
That kind of stuff.
A baby little Niji running around.
My idea would be for Gigi to go to like Texas or Nashville, like Queer Eye. But like trans
oh,
eye.
Yeah.
Oh,
trans eye for the trans
I love that.
Guy.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
No, but also I'm doing this show with the creators of Queer Eye right now. Mm-hmm. It's for moms. So there's going to be like this
That's
mom
cute.
Squad. So what if like.
Wait, so it's a group of moms
so, like,
helping
think of,
other moms?
Famous? Think of like, well, yeah, they need to be experts in their field. So think of like Queer Eye, like the Fab Five. There's not necessarily going to just be five women or it's like not a specific Fab Five, but we're looking for a team of expert women that would go in and help these struggling moms. So there's an expert mom in self-care, an expert mom in parenting, design, all that. And they're going to like go in and help these struggling single moms.
Cute.
But like that would be awesome for you to go and help like struggling like trans girls.
I would die.
Absolutely.
That's like my biggest thing. I love, that's my number
and
one.
You're good at it.
Pro. 10 out of 10, Chanel. Great show placement. Great show.
Let's do it.
Pitch it to Fox.
Okay, so we are going to take a quick break, but we answer people's queries that call in. Will you stay with us?
I guess.
All right, we'll be right back with Chanel Perillo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back on Queerified with Chanel Perillo. If you guys don't know, we have a hotline at 1-844-QUEERYS. That's Q-U-E-E-R-Y-S.
Y-S.
We have some queries lined up for you, Chanel. Are you ready to answer with us?
I guess.
All right, take it away, Mimi.
Okay, our first query.
Hi, Gigi. Hi, Mimi. My name is Alexis. I'm calling from Hollywood, California. My question is, I am getting FFS on January 20th, and I'm a little bit nervous, and I've never been in any surgery or put under anesthesia. Kind of nervous about that. Do you have any advice on how to deal with that kind of anxiety? That would be amazing. You guys have a great day. Stay gorgeous.
Alexis, cute question. We get this question a lot, and you've both had some cosmetic procedures. Gigi, do you want to, first of all...
You both had FFS?
We both had FFS.
No, just one of us here.
Gigi, do you want to let the person listening to this podcast know what exactly FFS is?
Yes. So FFS is facial feminization surgery. It's basically when you go in and tweak little bits of your face that might be more masculine than the mm-hmm. others, more parts that you are, you know, insecure about. As if, example for me, I'm very Neanderthal, so I had a big brow bone. So I got that shaved right on back. Mm-hmm. And I know you said you're having your FFS on January 20th. It's actually the 19th right now. So... good luck. And what I would say is be and let be. Don't stress yourself out. The mm-hmm. more anxious you go into it, the worse for you. Just please don't eat after midnight. For my first breast implant operation, I actually ate candy all night until like 2 a.m. And I was like, it's fine. And I ended up like shitting on the table where I was recovering.
Oh,
so don't
no.
do that with your face because that will just be a mess. But you got this. Then yeah. don't shit. Mm-hmm.
I feel like surgeries always seem so much more scarier than they are.
Right, you blink and it's over.
And then you're like the worst part is like thinking like worrying if you're going to become addicted to surgery. Like that's like my thing. It's like because after your first surgery, you're
well,
like,
it's too late for that.
Bring them on. I hope you are so happy with your results. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to be.
You're yeah. going to be. It's gender affirming surgery.
You're doing it. It's going to look fierce. I'm mm-hmm. sure you're going to be beautiful. You sound so gorgeous. And the thing is, like, it's so interesting after you get your face to see how it like develops and like mm-hmm. seeing how makeup sits on you. It's almost like you just are like reborn in your femininity. Like it will make
it
you feel so much girlier.
Like, it's a journey.
Yes, exactly. Like they say, like a rhinoplasty takes like a year to settle. Like FFS does too. And it's gorgeous. Like you're just going to love it. I can't wait to, I want to see a photo of you before and after and just good luck.
Send us photos. Okay. Next question. Thank you, Alexis. Here we go.
Hey, Gigi and Mimi. This is Nadir Laraki. I am from Miami, Florida. I've talked to you on your, I don't know what the name of that was, but you did something where you had people talk to you on camera, and that was amazing, and you gave me advice on toxic masculinity in our society and having to fit a certain standard in masculinity, which I bet in some way or some form, you have experienced pressure in being feminine or something of that nature. And I just wanted to know what your experience with that has been. And also, when are you coming to Miami so we can go to brunch or something? Love you. Stay gorgeous. And love you too, Mimi. Oh, my gosh. You guys should have me on the podcast because I would love to talk to you guys. I'll fly out. It'll be gorgeous. Love you. Mwah.
Madeer, thank you so much for your call. Gigi was actually just in Miami for New Year's Eve, but your question,
missed you.
What was the question?
I think basically he was asking about just like gender roles and like mm-hmm. expectations of femininity and masculinity. And I think there's such a high pressure for trans girls to be so feminine all the fucking time and really pass and be this, you know, this beacon of femininity. And same with mm-hmm. masculine, you know, trans presenting males. And it's just like, it's so much stress. And I feel like when you first transition, it's all you think about every single day. And I'm still battling with it. And mm-hmm. I think the beauty in it is kind of just like letting it go and having your little like scale moment with it. Like mm-hmm. some days, like today, I'm fully glam, fully like giving like Barbie Gigi. But on like other days, it's like I'm in like sweatpants. I'm chilling out. Like, don't hold yourself to a standard that's like unattainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're super sporty.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not always just the most, but I feel like, yeah, it is. It is hard. And I feel like toxic yeah. masculinity is just fucking terrible. Do you want to talk about a little bit of that?
Whew. I mean, I think I started hanging out in the gay bars because of toxic masculinity in general. Like, that was one of my biggest, like, pushes into. I remember, like, I loved that I could get dressed up, walk to Hamburger Mary's on a Friday night, and, like, not deal with one guy trying to fuck me or say something to me or degrade me. And, like, I was always safe, you know? So, yeah, I think toxic masculinity...
turned you gay.
I live for that.
Turned you to the gay clubs.
It did. I used to go out, like, I remember going out fully alone. Like, I would never do that at, like, you know, a heteronormative bar.
Right. I think gay people need to listen to that, because sometimes gay people are so misogynistic. They hate women in queer spaces. And it's like, you don't even know if that girl is a lesbian. Like, first of all, relax. Second of all, like, they are here because they want to feel safe. So if this is really a safe space, they should be allowed here. But that's a whole nother conversation. But thank you so much, Madeer. Call us again. Maybe you will be on Queerified.
And let's do brunch,
I didn't sound fun.
I love how he ended it with, like, it'll be fun. Like, yes.
Okay, our final question. Here we go.
Hi, Gigi. Hi, Mimi. My name is Matthew, and I live in Toronto, and I've been a fan for quite a long time, but I love your podcast right now. It brings me joy every Wednesday. I first discovered Gigi on a little YouTube show called The Avenue a million years ago, and I just wondered if there were any updates from the show. Whatever happened to Arda? Do you keep in touch with Claire? Do you keep in touch with Rachel? For those of you who've never seen the show, it's sort of like Toronto's indie version of The Hills. Lots of drama, very fun. Anyway, thanks so much, guys, for putting up the podcast every week. Big fan. Lots of love from Toronto.
Matthew. Hi, Matthew. I think I know Matthew, by the way. But yes, hi, Matthew. Thank you for your question. Gigi, do you still keep in touch with Rachel, Arta, Claire, Jessica?
I don't. We're friendly. And I feel like, let me just say, this is something I feel like when, like, people get on TV, they hear about it for, like, the rest of their lives. Like, it could be 30 years down the line and someone would be like, oh my God, like, I loved you on this show. This is this show. It really is. Like, I get questions about this all the time. And it was, like, just the Toronto thing at the time. And it was, like, fully casted. It was, like, a full moment. It was fully cast. I'll never learn. It was fully cast. And it was one of those things where it was just, like, in the moment and fun. We really didn't know that it was going to be, like, a thing. And, Mark, you were there for a lot of it.
Yes, I was there, like, I wasn't there for a lot of it, but I was there at the time, and it was how you met your manager, Scott, and, I mean, I still keep in touch with, Rachel. Rachel is now married in Toronto, living her best housewife life.
Let me actually rephrase that. Sometimes I do, like virtually, but I really haven't seen them for, like, years.
Oh my God, what was this on?
It was called The Avenue, and it was on, like, TV and YouTube.
Oh my God, I have to watch. Can we have a viewer?
I mean, it's my old gender and name, but sure.
But do you know do you know who's, like,
we don't need to.
I know, right? I'm like, maybe later.
Who's been the most enigmatic and, like, the biggest change is Arta. Arta is a lesbian living in Europe, and she is just, like, living her best European life.
It's giving very, like, season 3 catch up, and like, she's doing all this. Like, I feel like this is who she's meant to be. I'm so happy for her, because you could tell, you know,
she's
that
happy.
There was something happening inside her the whole time we were, like, filming and doing all that. Yeah.
I feel like you could feel it.
Yeah. She was just gay through and through. And I'm just so happy that she's, like, just out and free.
She's a gay empath.
And a trans empath.
Gay and trans lesbian, like, meets a girl like, you're a lesbian.
Like, honestly. So bad.
No, I mean, I don't even think I thought about my sexuality until I started hanging out with you all, and you would push it. Like, what
she's
are you?
She's a pusher.
I'm a pusher.
Yeah.
I'm really good with gay people. I'm, like, medium good with trans people. I'm really bad with lesbians. Like, I will never know if, like, they could be so butch, and, like, I will never know until they tell me, like, oh, I'm a lesbian. I'm
I
like,
assume
oh my God.
Everyone's a lesbian now.
I mean, my great gaydar has gone up, but for
I'm really,
it's a beautiful
it's
thing.
A beautiful.
All right, thank you so much, Chanel. How was that for you? It was good for me.
Thank you so much for coming on and telling our listeners how to get on their favorite TV shows. You are a star maker. I mean, listen, guys, Chanel might be the person to make you a star one day. So hit her up. Chanel, where can people find you?
And what are you working on? Can you talk about the show you're working on right now?
Yeah. I talked about the mom show. My handle's at Shut Up Chanel. And that's because I can't shut up. The show I'm working on right now is the mom show. But before that, I was working on a show that Gigi was like super involved in.
I can't.
Emotionally. But yeah, it's for a new major streaming service, like huge. Okay. Huge streamer service.
So Netflix,
one of the tops.
Disney Either, Plus, HBO yeah, I'll Max, give
you,
Hulu.
You can imagine. Yeah.
You can imagine in that realm. And it's a poly dating show, polyamorous dating show. So we were casting couples from all backgrounds. So, you know, gay, lesbian, trans, like all the whole gambit of couples exploring polyamory for the first time as a couple together.
Imagine those auditions. How fun is that?
Wow.
That is another thing I love about casting is you like learn about you. You're forced to throw yourself into, you know, a different, something that you might not have normally thrown yourself into.
Totally. About. Yeah. And I heard a lot of audition tapes that Chanel got and I was gagging. I was like, so what did they say when they said this? Like, it's just so juicy to me.
Yeah.
Like,
and
I just,
it opens
just
your
got
eyes.
Into poly.
It makes you be like, oh, like I'm polyamorous, but like now, like I'm way too territorial. But
same. Not right now, at least. I mean, I've been known to come out a few times.
I'm a Leo. Like I will eat someone if they, you know what I mean?
Oh, I was like, eat where?
You know, no.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Queerify. Thank you again, Chanel.
Thank you for having me. I hope I did okay.
Oh, you killed it.
Please let me know in the comments what you think.
In the comments. Right.
In the comments, like a YouTube video.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you guys in the next one. Love you.
Thanks to our very special guest, Chanel Perillo, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and me at Mark Maverick.
Do you think we got the audition? You guys, as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. Cut!